Hello, and welcome to this edition of Risk Pods, a resource service of the Georgia School Boards Association Risk Management Services. I'm David Colvard, the Safety and Risk Control Coordinator. I'll be your host for the podcast today. Our guests include John Shore, the Assistant Director of Risk Management Services, and our special guest today is Bill Becker, Field Manager for Boiler and Machinery Risk Control for Travelers. Our topic today is on facility boilers and other machinery as related to that. And we're going to be talking about their inspections and requirements in regards to that. John, if you would just give us a little introduction there to the coverage and how the coverage kind of works with Bill and Travelers.
Sure, David. Thank you. For all of the members of the Risk Management Fund, they are provided property coverage, including boiler machinery breakdown coverage as part of their package of coverages. And in addition to providing a limit of coverage, this also comes with a service, if you will, of inspecting the boilers that are required to be inspected. And that is the coverage. This, again, applies to all the members of the Risk Management Fund.
Thank you, John. And Bill, we are happy that you are joining us today and appreciate all of the assistance that you provide us every year on the boiler issues and inspections. Before we begin with some of the questions that we are asked kind of frequently, would like to see if you just kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Yeah. Hi, David. Thanks for having me. Appreciate the invite. As you said earlier, Bill Becker with Travelers, the Southeast Boiler Machinery Field Manager. So our territory covers from Virginia down to Florida to Alabama and the Carolinas. I've been with Travelers about 3 years. Prior to Travelers, most of my career was spent in the oil fields, oil and gas industry, performing mechanical integrity, primarily up on the North Slope of Alaska.
Great. Well, thank you. We are happy to have you with us. And this is a topic that our members, it doesn't come up a lot, but whenever y'all start coming out or they start getting something from the state, then that's when the questions start coming in to us. So we appreciate you coming in to help us on this. One of the first questions is what are the objects in school facilities that are included in the inspections that are provided by GSBA?
All the objects included are boilers and pressure vessels that fall within the state of Georgia jurisdictional requirements for inspection. That's kind of vague, and there's a lot to the code. So I'd say to sum it up, boilers, hot water heaters that exceed 200,000 BTUs per hour will require an inspection, and pressure vessels that exceed 5 cubic feet. Now there are some nuances to that. High level, that's what I'd look for. Any questions on that, your inspector with Travelers can answer all of those.
Okay. And how often do those individual items have to be inspected?
So it depends on the object type. Boilers may require an inspection every year. Every 2 years, and pressure vessels will require an inspection every 3 years. And what that comes down to is the type of boiler and its operating pressure.
And what part does Travelers play in all of this?
So Travelers, we provide the inspections as a value-added part of our equipment breakdown insurance offering. We'll schedule the inspections, perform the site inspections, submit our inspection reports to the state of Georgia, follow up with and close out any violations, and then update the state when those violations have been corrected.
Okay. And in terms of the actual inspections, when you go out to the schools, one of the questions we get asked a good bit is, does the inspector or whoever's coming out let the school district know beforehand when they're coming? And if so, who is usually their contact?
Yes, we make all efforts to schedule the inspections before arriving. So how that looks for us is we'll have contacts in our database. That contact may be the last person utilized for the inspection, or a contact that we've been given for that school. There are times when maybe we can't get a hold of somebody. We may reach out to you guys for help in obtaining a contact. And if all else fails, sometimes the best thing to do is stop in, introduce ourselves, and at least that way we can update our contacts and schedule an inspection in the future.
Okay. And Bill, how long does the inspection normally take? Is there an estimate on per equipment, or is it based on the numbers, or what? I guess it varies big time.
It does, David. I mean, you know, what we say is the inspection takes as long as the inspection takes. So it's pretty wide open, realistically. Some of our smaller equipment that say is in good operating condition, it may be 10, 15 minutes, a quick inspection. We have larger equipment that could take upwards of a couple hours. So pretty big variation there. Tough one to answer.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great. That kind of gives their people an idea of what kind of time frame are they talking.
Yeah. And the other thing too with that is when our local inspectors schedule these appointments, they're looking at the objects, the object history. They'll be able to provide a better timeline when they're making that appointment.
And speaking of that, since you mentioned that, Bill, we would probably want to make sure that our members know you're not the only one that goes out and does these, correct?
That is correct. I, as the field manager, I rarely go out.
Okay.
I am licensed with the state of Georgia, but we have four other inspectors within the state of Georgia that handle the bulk of the inspections.
Okay, great. And during the inspection, what actually are they looking for generally?
That is a short question with a really long answer. I would say, generally speaking, I'd sum it up that, you know, we perform these inspections to verify compliance with the standards adopted by the state. And that's generally going to reference best engineering practices or codes, ASME, the National Board Inspection Code. It could be NFPA or other implemented state laws.
Okay.
That's a different podcast, I think, David.
Okay. Does the inspector, when he comes onto the campus, does he have identification in terms of maybe an ID badge or other logos on the shirts, vehicles, anything like that would help a district know?
Our inspectors will have a state-issued boiler inspector license that was issued by the state of Georgia, and a traveler's ID badge.
Okay, great.
And they should be handing out business cards.
Okay, good. So you've done the inspection at the school district, wherever they're located. What happens after the inspection has occurred?
So following the physical on-site inspection, the inspector is going to submit their inspection report to the state of Georgia. The state will review the report, and if the object was found in compliance, the state will issue an invoice, and then they will issue an operating certificate for that object. If there are any violations that require correction, the inspector will also, they'll email a written, what we call a survey confirmation letter to that specific location. to summarize the inspection and the violation, what's required to correct it. Once that's corrected again, they inform us, we submit that back to the state.
Now, does a copy of that report come to the district contact person, and what's the timeline of when they would normally expect that?
Yeah, so the state of Georgia, they'll issue the operating certificate. I'd say the timeline there is generally 1 to 3 weeks. And now in the state of Georgia, everything is digital. So everything is operated through the citizen serve portal that the state utilizes. And a link to that can be found on their website. But each location will need to go into the portal, sign in, pay their invoice. Once the invoice is paid, they can download their certificate.
And can you mention a little bit about when you're saying this invoice? What is that invoice for? And is that a set fee per unit, or how does that work?
It is. That invoice is specifically for the state of Georgia and their operating certificate. That's required to the state of Georgia. It's not ours, and it's a set fee. It varies by object type and size.
Okay. And John, I think we've had questions before when they get those invoices that they ask us, is that covered under our boiler thing? So you want to kind of address that?
Well, the short answer is no. Travelers is responsible for doing the inspection, but the cost of renewing your certificate is that's the responsibility and the cost of the member school system.
And then along those lines, if there is a repair that you guys find, that cost is going to be up to the district to cover as well, correct?
Yes, that is correct. Bill, jump in here if you have something to add. But there'll be a request in that letter that, hey, this valve has to be replaced. Certainly the cost of installing that valve, having someone come out and install it, and all that follow-up work and the cost of the repairs, those are all up to the to our member.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct, John.
Good. We get asked that one sometimes when they think, well, yeah, that probably is part of the whole coverage. So we want to kind of clarify that. The report that will come back to the district contact, Bill, does that initial report they get, does it list for them what corrections they may need to make, or if no corrections are needed?
Yes, it does.
And I think when David, I know, go ahead, John.
David, I'll just add, we do get a copy of each of those reports as well. So if there was ever a question, we have those in our SharePoint system.
And again, when I was looking at a copy of one of those, I know, Bill, that a lot of times they'll be listed as open items and closed items. Can you kind of distinguish what that means to the member when they see it?
Yeah. So, I mean, we look at it, we try to go full circle with this. So if we open a violation, we'll send you a survey confirmation letter. If it's a new violation or it hasn't been corrected, it'll say open. Means either it needs to be corrected or it has been, we just have not been notified. If it says closed, that means that violation has been corrected and closed out, and that letter back to you is us closing that loop.
And is there any kind of a timeline from the time that you've done the inspection to you send them a report that they have to make some corrections of some sort? What do they have a required timeline that they have to make those corrections within?
Yeah, in our survey confirmation letters, we request that they follow up with us in 30 days.
Okay. And is there any kind of fine or violation if they're beyond 30 days?
With travelers, there is not. That would be up to the jurisdiction, the state of Georgia.
Okay. What happens if when you are at a site and for whatever reason, one of the objects or machinery boilers is missed in the initial when they're there for the inspection.
I think I'd start out with by saying that, you know, it is the responsibility of the owner user of that equipment to ensure it's in compliance with the state's inspection requirements. So when our inspector arrives, having a good inventory of your equipment and ensuring we're seeing all of your equipment is important. Now, with that being said, we can reschedule the inspection and get back out there as soon as we need to.
And Bill, when I was working in a school district and as a contact, I know generally I was maybe the initial contact, but I had to always include the maintenance director or facilities director to go along because they were much more familiar with locations. Do y'all kind of look for a maintenance person as your primary contact, or is it administrative type person? What is your normal contact that you utilize?
You know, our primary contact is up to the location, up to each location on what they want to do. I will say when we're on site doing the inspections, we need to be with someone who's, you know, familiar with the equipment and can potentially test the equipment.
Okay. And that's generally going to be somebody within the maintenance department that I found.
Yeah, so. Generally speaking, yeah. That's who we go out with. Yep.
Okay. Well, great. And I know we did a risk alert back in April, I believe, wasn't it, John, that we sent out with some of the questions that we'd been getting and answered that went out to all of our members. And in that one, you had shared with us, Bill, the information about where they can get additional contacts, like a website or phone number. Could you kind of review over that with us, please?
So if anyone is attempting to schedule a boiler inspection, we have a single point of contact we like to utilize. That's our boil inspect hotline. They could be reached at 1-800-425-4119 or reached by email at boilinsp@travelers.com. I would also encourage anyone that if they have worked with one of our local inspectors to reach out to them directly, and they can help schedule the inspection as well.
Okay, great. Hey, Bill, John, any other questions?
Bill, David asked earlier about if there's a question about the type of object. If a member has a question, hey, should this be inspected? Can they call that number too? Or is it better to just use that for inspections?
Well, we primarily like to utilize that for inspection requests.
Okay.
Although we do have customers who will reach out to that, and we clarify some questions that way as well.
So best to talk to the inspector himself. Any question in their mind about is this subject to a jurisdictional?
Yeah, I mean, that would be our inspectors are a great resource. I'd also encourage everyone to go to the State of Georgia OCI website, where you can review the laws for the boiler and pressure vessels and become familiar with, you know, when inspections are required and the different types of equipment.
Okay. Bill, one other thing as we finish up here, as you are working with your inspectors and all, is there anything that comes up as a concern or an issue more often within schools and school districts that you would want to maybe share or that needs to be looked at?
One of the changes happened in 21 was the CO monitor requirements. So any new installations after 2021 require seal monitors to be installed and interlocked into the boilers. You know, with the amount of people and kids we see in schools, I think that's important to have. Outside of that, we see a lot of, I'd say probably the most common thing we see is leaking safety valves. So that's one thing I like to see the maintenance staff doing when they're on site is, you know, occasionally testing those safety valves to make sure they work and they're not leaking.
Okay. And it may be on that website that we mentioned earlier, but is there recommended preventive maintenance that the maintenance staffs should be doing throughout the year?
Well, I think the simple answer, David, is follow the manufacturer's recommendations for your equipment.
Well, that's the political answer. That was great. But that's perfect, Bill. John, any other questions or comments for Bill?
No, I don't think so. Bill, we appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the invitation. Yeah.
Yes, thank you very much. And again, we will be getting this edited and it'll be put out on our website and available for all of our members. And also available for search through any of the major podcast services as well. So we'll be sure and get you a copy of it when we finish up. So again, thank you for taking the time to be with us today. We certainly do appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, John. Thank you, David.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks.